You're listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast. For a complete list of episodes, visit pdxpod.com or find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Remember to like, share, and subscribe.
Thinking Sideways is a weekly podcast exploring a different unsolved mystery every week. Each episode is hosted by Devin, Joe, and Steve, and their chemistry has been credited as one of the main reasons behind the show's popularity. My name is Gregory Day. You're listening to pdxpodcast.com.
We are the Weekly Portland Podcast.
You know what's an unsolved mystery here at the studio is where the hell do all my tea bags end up going? Surely I'm not drinking that much tea. I think I've got gnomes coming in the middle of the night having tea parties. That's my theory.
Okay, I'm Devin. I'm one-third of the research and hosting team of Thinking Sideways.
And I'm Joe. I'm kind of like Devin, except I'm a guy. But I'm a one-third also.
And I am Steve, rounding out the team. And
we were pestered for years to do the Hinter Kaifeck murder mystery story, which is a really famous one. This family was massacred in Germany, and then the murderer stayed on their farm and lived on the farm for several days afterwards because people in the surrounding village saw smoke coming out of their chimney, and so it's super creepy. But there's not a lot. I didn't think there was much to it, but actually it turned out to be a little bit more interesting story, so I'm kind of glad we did it, even though we had resisted doing it for at least, like, 2 years, right?
I think it was at our second Halloween, because it was that Halloween binge year.
Yeah.
Where we did all we, 1 year for Halloween, we did nothing but the top-rated listener suggestions, and I know that's when Hinter Kaifeck worked its way into the mix.
Uh-huh.
We did a listener poll.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said, here are our top 10 most requested. Everybody do a Facebook poll, and they voted, and then we did literally whichever ones were the top five or something like that, which we weren't 100%.
What a benefit to have all those fans give you that feedback, yeah. What they want to hear.
Well, and it's funny is that there was the – do you remember the Sodder Children story?
Uh-huh.
This story is that this house in, is it West Virginia?
West Virginia
burns down, 5 children inside, and when they go through the ashes, there's no bodies to be found. So what happened to them is the basic story. And that was one that had been suggested a number of times, and I ended up hosting that one. And initially, I was not keen on it at all, but wait, what's this? What's that? Like more and more crumbs up. And we actually just, I don't know if you guys have been in the inbox.
Yeah,
we just got an email from somebody who had access to the case files. So we're actually going to be able to chat with somebody about that. So it's amazing how those things just long-term circle back and suddenly we're back into it.
They actually have access to these kids.
It was like a fire inspector or something, wasn't it?
Something along those lines, yeah. And he just retired. He'd looked through the records.
And he found your show?
Yeah.
Somehow, he found it.
I mean, similarly, right, we did the episode on Ben McDaniels.
Oh, yeah, and his dad sent us the email.
And then, like, the week we released it, his dad found our podcast and sent us an email and said, you know, here are a couple things of clarification, but overall, thank you.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy.
I was really glad he wasn't all hurt or angry or anything like that, but he wasn't. Yeah,
but I think that also speaks to...
he lost his son.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also speaks to the care we've evolved to take. I think in the beginning we kind of didn't ever think anybody of import would hear these things, but now we've come to realize, you know, one of the victims' fathers emailed us and listened to our story and said, like, hey, you guys did a good job. And I think that's been something we've learned over the years, is how to take more care.
You want to be mindful that the family might be listening, and you don't want to be sniggering over their dead child or something like that.
Well, or even if it's not that family, it's a family who's gone through something similar. We've also had those come where we've done like Andrew Gosden, boy who disappeared in London, and we got all kinds of emails from people who were in similar situations or felt like they could very quickly be in that same situation. So it's taught us how to temper our senses of humor and the way that we go about it.
Oh yeah, and speaking of emails, I just got an email. We just got an email from a listener who's bicycling across Europe, and he was like, the header on the email was really not cool, because he was like, you know, camping out in the middle of nowhere by himself, and he listened to our episode we dropped several weeks ago about the monster of Florence, who was this really twisted, sick serial killer, and he said, I didn't sleep all night because of you guys.
He asked for a tent warning, a murderer's intent warning, because we try to provide warnings, you know, of like, hey, this is going to deal with children being murdered or, you know, something really horrific. We try. We try to be really good with that. But apparently this guy wants a lone camper warning. Which we obviously won't.
You know, I remember you did a phone intro, Devin.
Yeah.
And it really brought you sort of a creepy element to the show. It's a great way to introduce the show. Yes.
Oh,
I love that phone.
When you did your ad remotely?
Yeah, that was out of necessity. I travel for work sometimes, and it happened to be my week to do the ad read. And we were like, how are we going to do this? And Steve said, why don't you just call me and we'll do it over the phone?
But maybe we'll start doing more of them over the phone.
Actually, maybe we'll do a special short episode where, you know, we're all kind of tired this week. We decided to phone one in, and we'll all just be on the phone.
It's full of puns. He's got puns, this guy.
Yes.
Okay, so how does the show go down? What Monday morning, do you have a meeting over coffee and just sort of hash it out?
Here's what I will say. I'm going to let somebody else, because I feel like I've been talking a lot, I'm going to let somebody else answer this. But I will say, all three of us, on top of having this podcast, hold down full-time jobs. And some of us work more full-time than others. But all of us work, you know, 40 hours a week. So the podcast is our second job. So, you know, keep that in mind when you hear our process as well.
I think the easy answer is we record on Tuesdays. So a couple of days later, whoever's up next in rotation picks their story. And sometimes we collaborate on what the story is going to be. Sometimes we don't. Most of the time, we have no idea what the other person's going to choose. And so they give us the information, and then we've got, you know, a little less than a week to do our own personal research. Whoever's hosting typically has been doing it for longer than that. And then we get together on a Tuesday evening and somebody's written up. We refer to it as the script. It's really just kind of the order of events. And then from there we record it and it's in the bag.
We also utilize, I don't think Steve mentioned this, we utilize online collaborative documents on Google Share, basically, Google Share Drive. So we have a spreadsheet that we put all of our links in, and then
we
upload.
We're gonna get hacked.
Sorry, please don't hack us. It's happened before, let's not do it again. So we definitely utilize the technology of that online collaboration services as well.
Do you use the city library at all?
I do.
Yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah, it's I've pulled a few good old newspaper articles out of there and things like that.
If I think on Reddit, probably that same thread you were talking about, we all have different styles, and I think they're very much generational, to be honest. But I know, you know, Steve reads books on books on books. Joe reads books on books on books for story topics, but then he does like Freedom of Information Act requests and like really gets deep into those.
I haven't gotten that deep yet.
And I tend to do more.
I tell you what, doing an interview show, I've learned to never just singly rely on Wikipedia and look at the resources at the bottom of the page.
That's
because
exactly,
it can get really embarrassing.
Yes.
When you make a mistake.
I would agree with that. And, you know, luckily we do have the ability to say it. We're just a primer, you know, because that's what our podcast is really geared towards. If you
use the word primer, that's a sci-fi time travel film, sort of a cult film.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, I have not listened to an episode like this though yet, but you guys do a time travel, you do time travel bits?
We did.
You did? Okay. What episode? What episode is this?
It was a triptych.
It was a 3-in-1.
We used to do, sometimes we do still, we'll take three shorter stories that are kind of all connected through some theme or something, and then we each host that story. So in 1 week, you'll hear all three of us present our own research, and it's usually a slightly longer episode. And we did one on fake time travelers or time traveler stories.
Oh, that's right. That's
it was
right.
The John Titor.
And
Man from Tarud.
Yeah, and one other
fake
one.
Time travelers?
Well, The Man from Tarud is 100% a fictional story. But John Titor, we're not sure about. What was the third in that one? Because we also did a full episode on What's the Frequency, Kenneth.
Yeah.
And then the third time traveler, he was the guy that popped into the middle of traffic in New York City and was immediately run down.
And then discovered
when they took him to the morgue or to the hospital, they discovered like an old pocket watch and old coins that had not been in circulation for many, many years. And then eventually some New York City detectives somehow tracked it down that there was a guy who had disappeared like 90 years before. He had simply gone out for a walk and never returned home. And he figured out that that was the same name. But it turns out, it was the same person's name and everything. But it turns out it was actually based on like a story by Philip K. Dick or something. But it got picked up by somebody on the internet and turned into this major mystery. But it turns out it was all, you know, just science fiction, literally. But it's still a fun story, except for the part where he gets run down. It's kind of sad to travel so many years into the future and then be run down like 2 seconds later.
We're not true crime. We're not unsolved murders. We're not disappearances. We're all of those and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're a mixed bag.
Yeah, we've done baseball episodes before. Yeah.
Our listenership is a lot more than it was, say, a year ago. And it really doesn't seem like our email traffic has really gone up that much. Maybe people are intimidated about emailing us or something.
I disagree with that. But I think I'm like an inbox zero person. And so managing an inbox with two people who are definitely not inbox zero people is like very stressful for me. I would say that I tend to go like I'll give an email like 2 hours before I respond to it. Whereas you guys are like, I don't know, it's been a couple days. I guess we can get back to that.
There are some people, you know, who are a little bit so kind of like. Yeah, what's the word I'm thinking
of? Some require a little more thought.
But there are people that I've just deliberately slow-boated. I don't want to have a rapid back and forth with this guy because I know he's going to want to have 20 iterations of this, so I'll slow it down.
And also it's like 12 paragraphs. It's like a whole novel.
There's
oftentimes,
that too, occasionally.
But I don't know. I disagree. I think we have gotten an uptick. I wouldn't say that it's a comparable uptick to the listenership, but...
No, I don't think so either. Is anybody checking the spam folder, by the way?
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh.
Every couple of days, I'm in that
okay,
thing.
Good, okay.
Now, you guys ran a Patreon site that you've discontinued, and there was a great video on this thing. I thought that was quite well put together. You know, what I've noticed, there tends to be a trend with some celebrities that they want to remain anonymous. There was an artist, a musical artist, that came to Holocene, and every photo of her, sort of like the Daft Punk ideal of keeping your anonymity as you're, you know, rising in stardom. There was a musical artist that came here that always was covering her face with some sort of masks and stuff. It's interesting. I kind of like it. I kind of like the idea of you guys not throwing yourselves out there personally.
It's got its good points, I think. Yeah, I actually like being able to just walk around and not be, you know, have people recognize me and stuff. You know, that's a good thing.
I'll speak. This is a story I talk about a lot regarding anonymity, and I think this is maybe unique because I'm a woman. Although that's not to say that the guys have shared their fair share of stuff. But when we first started, we got some like very creepy emails that were geared towards me. That luckily I have two great co-hosts that made me feel very comfortable about not having to actually deal with this stuff. But about a year ago, then somebody tweeted a picture of my parents' house to us.
I think the guy who tweeted the photo was kind of he's snubbing his nose at us or thumbing his nose at us, be like, hey, you guys are trying to be secret, but I squirreled out who you are. Ha, ha, ha. Like, that one, I think, was that. The guy in the beginning, yeah, that jerk, I tracked that guy down. He was a weirdo.
Yeah, that was not good. That was not good. But it's also, I mean, I think I personally, you know, feel safer being totally anonymous, but we are on the precipice of, in a month, we're going to a conference called CrimeCon, and we are making a real... face appearance.
Well, please tell me more.
We're going to give them fake names, of course. But at least I plan to. Yeah, CrimeCon. So it's kind of like Comic-Con, but for crime. And this is, I think, the first year they're doing it. So there was one in Frankfurt, Germany, and they're having the first one in America in Indianapolis in June. And so since it's the first time around, we have no idea really whether it's going to be highly, incredibly successful or not. I hope it is, just because we told our fans to be there, and a lot of them have paid, you know, it's expensive
a lot,
to get in. And I would feel personally very, very bad if our fans paid all that money and it turned out to be just crap, you know.
It's June 9th to the 11th. But I'm just going to blame Generation Y. They have a bigger stake in this.
They do.
So if it doesn't go well, I'm just going to be like, listen, it was Generation Y. You guys all heard it from them. It's their thing.
Send the hate mail. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, to your point, I feel safer being totally anonymous. But, you know, there are so many people in this world, and a number of people have reached out and said, just so you know, it's pretty easy to find you guys. And I'm like, that's fine, as long as you're not then being super creepy with that information. You know, I haven't personally gotten any friend requests on my personal Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've gotten any Instagram followers on my personal Instagram. You know, these people who are our fans, by and large, are really good people. And if they're curious to find out who we are, they're still not they're respecting our wish to have a separate personal life from our podcast life.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting how you've approached it. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in the beginning we weren't sure what it was going to be like or how the response was. And I mean, I don't want my wife getting weirdo Facebook requests or my, you know, my family members, just like you said. And it was an easy thing to do in the very beginning, to just erect this itty bitty wall that has over time become stronger and stronger, and we're eventually going to pull down. But
yeah, you're just getting so big.
Yeah, I know. And Hollywood's going to come knocking, let's face it, you know.
We are going to lose Joe. He's going to be, the guy
Devin.
Who does the voiceovers and previews? That's Joe.
Oh, that'd be me?
Yeah.
In a world where podcasts were illegal.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
it.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was really interesting off the Reddit AMA was that you still cited D.B. Cooper as the top unsolved mystery that you guys are...
We love that one.
You're really into
it. I think one of the reasons we love it is because it's rare that we find a mystery that we all three genuinely disagree on. Like, I think all three of us have very different ideas of what actually happened and who Dan Cooper was. And it constantly evolves. And I think out of almost reverence, we haven't done that case. And I think it's likely that if our podcast ever ends, we'll just like end on that, you know, like that would be a good very last episode. But I don't think we'll ever be satisfied with an episode of it.
You've just scared a lot of people. If we ever cover D.B. Cooper, they'll be like, oh my god, it's ending.
That's a good point. Yeah, we could psych people that way. But it is a fun one. It's interesting because there's a huge world of Cooper online. I don't know if you've looked at it. Yeah, there is. Big time. A lot of people are still pursuing the story, although it's not as intense as it was, say, 10 or 20 years ago. But there's a lot of people out there with a lot of theories, including the FBI. The FBI recently sort of rekindled their interest in it. And it's really interesting to look at the evidence that's out there, look at what the FBI says, and see they're either really lying to us or they're really, truly not competent. I'm not sure which. But it's one of those mysteries where the evidence seems to me to point one way, and the FBI is saying something else entirely, which is one of the things that really intrigues me about the mystery.
Yeah, it's an unresolved mystery. It's something that's still out there.
Well, yeah, it'll be unresolved. It might be that Cooper's dead. He might still be alive, though. You know, he was, what, 45, I think, when he hijacked the plane? That was about 45.
Wasn't it 35 to 45?
Yeah, somebody said 40s. In 1971, so 46 years ago. So he'd be, what, 91 today maybe? Right around that ballpark? So he could still be alive. And so who knows? Maybe he'll die tomorrow and his lawyer will release, you know, a little tell-all letter explaining everything. I kind of hope that doesn't happen, actually, because I would prefer to solve it myself.
We've had that happen where we've done an episode and then we have the five-year rule to kind of help mitigate this, where we won't cover anything that's less than 5 years old, because cases by and large get solved within the first 5 years. And
Don't get solved at all.
Or they they don't get solved at all, but every once in a while they do get solved, you know, 10, 15, 30 years later, and we've already done an episode on it.
Yeah, Erica Ruff, for example.
Yeah, and that was the example I was going to use, is that, the truth is, vastly less satisfying than the researching of the unsolved mystery. Yeah, way less. You know, sometimes you say, if I just knew the answer to this, I'd be happy. But then you find out the answer, and you're like, I wish I didn't know the answer to that. That was dumb. That was a bad answer.
No one remembers Arthur C. Clarke's 2010.
That's right. You know, I read that book, and I don't remember it, to be honest. I read 2001. I remember it. I was just thinking about it yesterday, I think, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we were promised monoliths. I don't know what happened.
Well, I was thinking about the monoliths. I think about the monolith a lot, you know. It's kind of cool.
Just sit at home thinking about the monolith.
No, it's kind of a random thing.
No, it's a passion of yours, doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Correct.
And some mysteries you can really get into in a big way. And, you know, but some of the other ones, there's just not that much out there to get into. But some of them can really suck you in.
It's funny the ones you don't expect to really pull you. Remember the, what was the one, the tube train?
Moorgate.
The Moorgate tube disaster. I had done enough reading. I knew it was really interesting, but I remember Devin saying, I really was not interested in this at all when I did the initial reading. But as you get into it, it's just, you know, it snowballs and that just grabs your attention.
I think we've done a couple episodes because the last one that we did of mine that isn't out yet also was one where I just kept kind of writing it off. And finally I was like, all right, this person who suggested it in January of 2015, it's been there. I just got to do it. And then I got to researching and I was like, oh man.
Is that Karen you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's so much more to this story than anybody could have ever guessed. And it's so weird. And it's just, you just get sucked in.
I think the reason that happens though, is that a lot of times, and we do this when we are Googling the crap out of something, is you will find the short version of the story that is, say, three paragraphs long on a website. Oh, well, this sounds fun, but okay, whatever, no big deal. And then when you finally find those treasure troves that are just full of details, that's when you see the full breadth of them, and that's when they really kind of take on a life of their own.
It's what we call falling down the rabbit hole.
I remember our second or third episode recording it, and we were fumbling and stumbling, and we were trying to do the no edit process. And I just remember looking at both of you and saying, we need to stop doing this. Let's just take a break. If we have to repeat something, I'll clip it out. And it was funny is that very quickly after that, it got much easier for all of us.
That was when we were trying to edit music into the middle and trying to be.
Oh, when we thought we were Radiolab?
Yeah, when we thought we were Radiolab, yeah.
Yeah, we're not Radiolab.
Actually, we're better than Radiolab. I think when we were on the Stitcher list, I think we were over them. Ha ha! For a few days. That was about it. Take that, Radiolab.
That list that gets updated once a week.
We have a couple podcaster people that we've made friends with over the years.
Who are these guys? Who are these?
The guys over at Generation Y, Aaron and Justin.
Yeah, Aaron and Justin. Justin actually came on our show once. Remember what, if that was a special episode or what.
It was. It was the something something. It was about Nicole. Yeah.
But I don't remember if we did it for a special occasion or he just happened to be in town, but he came in and pretended to be our intern, which was fun. And those guys are great. And then Mike over at Sword and Scale, which can be controversial. Then we are also, I would say, friendly acquaintances with the girls over at My Favorite Murder.
Have you heard of them? Speaking of successful, they're really big.
Yeah, there's no way you haven't heard of them.
Yeah, they're huge. Not them personally. I mean, no, their podcast is huge. Yeah. But.
So one of the things, the really weird things that's happening, is we, as you said, have been doing this podcast for a really long time, and I would say it was us and Generation Y, and Sword and Scale, all came out at the very beginning of the inception of this kind of boom of unsolved mystery podcasts. But the thing that's really interesting is, like, we get emails, like, there's this really great little podcast called Insight. And the host of that, you know, followed us on Twitter, and I followed her back, and she was like, oh my God, it's you guys. And it's this really interesting thing where a lot of people, I feel, who are in the genre listen to us and have been fans of our show for so long that it's almost like, I feel like we are the podcaster's podcast, if that makes sense. I feel like most of our fans are also podcasters. Many of our fans, not most.
Yeah, a portion of them, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's the same thing with the girls over at My Favorite Murder. They talk about us every now and again, just based on there's the way that we do it, and they're like, well, that's partial. You know, these are the things that we wish we could do, so.
They did an interview with Cracked recently, and their kind of formula is they do, and I think they unabashedly do, just read the Wikipedia page, but they're kind of more of a...
They do more than the Wikipedia page. That's a different podcast that does just the Wikipedia page.
Okay, sorry. But they do, I mean, they do kind of a really high-level summary, like a one-page summary, and kind of just talk about it. But, you know, they did an interview with Cracked recently, and they were like, do you guys do research? And they were like, no, we leave that to, like, Thinking Sideways to do the research.
That is really nice, actually, that they give us a little shout-out every now and again. I appreciate
that
about them.
But they're fans. I mean, they started out as fans, and then they started their own. They've had personally other podcasts, but they got together. And so it's kind of that thing as well, where we've developed friendships from people saying, hey, we're huge fans, and we're like, hey, we're huge fans. Like, what? So we just kind of develop friendships around that and having similar interests.
Yeah, there's going to be podcasters at CrimeCon too. I know Jen Y is going to be there.
Insight's going to be there.
Insight and a few others. So
there's going to be a ton of podcasts there.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. We need to get together and do a mega podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Where we all talk at once? That'll be great.
Yeah, I know. All these clashing egos in the room.
We all pick our own story. Everybody just does whatever they want. Everybody's got a mic. It's going to be perfect.
Or maybe it's super easy.
Yeah, or maybe I'm from Indianapolis, Apache Strabash. In this corner, Generation Y. maybe not.
We run all our own social media. I guess it's worth saying, we run everything. We are the only staff members for Thinking Sideways, the podcast, with the exception of
the mod team.
We have five volunteer moderator. Five? I think it's five.
Is it five?
Maybe six. Volunteer moderators for our Facebook group, just because, again, we have our own. Yeah.
We don't have interns yet, though, unfortunately.
Well, that's been the interesting conversation of, you know, talking to, like, the girls from My Favorite Murder. I was like, how do you guys manage your Twitter? They're like, we don't. We pay someone to do it. And we're like, oh, that hadn't even occurred to us.
What a great idea.
You're doing this wrong.
I mean, we run all of our social. If you're talking to somebody on Reddit, you're talking to me, mostly. Mm-hmm. I mean, every once in a while you guys jump in, but it's pretty
mostly
much
you.
Me. So
I need to get out. I keep forgetting that Reddit thing exists.
Yeah,
but on
Twitter, it's me. On Facebook, it's one of us. If you're messaging us, we are the ones responding. If you're emailing us, we are the ones that are responding. And I think that people don't, like, consider that. But again, it's kind of like it never occurred to us that anybody else would do it, and for better or for worse.
Well, and I think the nice thing is that there are people who send in an email and they don't expect a response. We say we can't respond right away. You know, we have a certain time frame that we want to respond in, but we will respond. And there are people who get a response and they are just flabbergasted that we actually did that. But it's great to talk to them. I mean, I can't remember the... I mean, we talked to so many varied people, from, you know, the old grizzled guy who's got his conspiracy theory to the 7-year-old kid who wants help with his class project. So it's all over the map. And
we do. We actually
hopefully not too many.
Well, we've made a concerted effort to keep our show clean. Right. The subject matter can be iffy. And that's one of the reasons we do our little warnings. We say, you know, this is if you have little ears around. But we've gotten a number of emails. I mean, we had a kid who was in sixth grade, and he said he and his partner were huge fans, and so they wanted to hear if we had any feedback. We definitely have younger fans, and And that's something that differentiates us certainly from a lot of the other true crime podcasts out there.
I know there's a lot of parents who like the fact that we keep the, you know, while we can't keep the subject matter from being a little disturbing at times, we are very careful with it, and they like the fact that they can, unless there's a warning in the beginning, they can leave it on the car while they're driving around and the kids are in the back seat, and they know their kids aren't going to hear somebody dropping F-bombs left, right, and center and talking about things that are going to give them nightmares.
Well, they don't
have to worry about that.
Of course, the kids are getting their minds all twisted by all the horrible stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least they're not learning bad language.
One of my favorite emails was the mom who emailed us and said, my 3-year-old just asked if this person was found yet, and I had to tell her no. But, and it was just, you know, on the one hand, I think a lot of people would say, like, you shouldn't have your kids listening to that. But on the other, I think that's one of the things that I love the most about our podcast is that, you know, despite the subject matter, sometimes it can get kind of grisly. I think we try to make it family friendly, you know, the same way that, like, Unsolved Mysteries was family friendly.
The TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything you'd like to say to Portlanders out there or fans of the show in closing?
No. Just kidding.
Oh, you're always good at the closing line, Joe. Yeah.
Sorry, Portland. Only kidding.
I don't know. I mean, I think we're all Portland born and raised, right? Pretty much.
I mean, I
relatively
haven't lived in Portland my entire life.
You are.
Close.
You are. And, you know, that Portland has shaped our podcast, I would say, very heavily.
Yeah.
And hey, Portland, what's up?
Yeah. And by the way, we are planning on doing some good unsolved Oregon mysteries one of these days, real soon. Just so you guys know.
Yeah. So don't get mad. Don't kick us out.
Yeah, we will do some unsolved Oregon mysteries,
but probably not Kyron Horman.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe not
Kyron.
Yeah.
Because.
But yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't know. Closing things to say? I don't know.
What's up?
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey, great. Thanks.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
This was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Cheers.
And thank you for listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast. My name is Gregory Day. I will be here next week. Please join me.